And lo, it came to pass that the views and opinions and hopes of thousands upon thousands of people were based on two Geordies, Jessica. Were those two Geordies the likes of Anton Deck? No. Were they Arthur Mackenzie and Ian Lennox? No. But they were Steve Bruce and John Carver. Two Geordies locked head-to-head in quite literally a battle for survival. What fun times we can look forward to as the season proceeds, Ian Lennox, as Newcastle flirt with the joys of going into Ashley Heaven or indeed Ashley Purgatory, with, of course, the Geordie John Carver at the helm. How are you, sir?
Well, none the better for that.
Well, you know, I thought it would be nice to actually build up. I mean, you know, let us celebrate the good.
One of these days I'm going to prepare a peroration of a Manchester City. See how you like it.
Well, I think, you know, you've got the balance there. And I thought my sort of juxtaposition of two men, two Geordies. I mean, is it Hull City? Is it Newcastle? Likely that one of them will actually go down. It looks as though Dick Advocaat's possibly done enough with respect to Sunderland. Likewise, Tim Sherwood with Aston Villa. But it does seem as though at this particular stage, and of course the QPR game coming up, very exciting times. But isn't it great, Jessica, that the best coach certainly the British Isles, self-styled best coach in the British Isles. I'm amazed he actually hasn't been contacted by Real Madrid to take over from their manager. John Carver has now got 1 point out of a possible 24. So great.
I think you're confusing definitions. He calls him a coach. He's not a manager coach.
Ah.
Yeah, and apparently he is. If you go to the training ground and see him coaching, he is very good.
Yes.
And the reason I say that, it's not that I've ever seen him, nor has anybody else really. Yeah. It's the players say that and some of the other managers.
Well, he
is a very good coach. It's a very different job from being a manager when you have to make all sorts of decisions on the pitch, dealing with players and all that sort of stuff.
And you have to get the players to actually write to the fans and explain how they want the fans on their sides and write some open letters. It's fantastic. Jessica, even though you have no interest whatsoever in football, just the amusement that Newcastle United could actually provide for the Western world is phenomenal. You know, it is.
I do agree with most people that if there is a team that deserves to go down, it's Newcastle United, I'm afraid.
But are you one of those folk, Ian, who would actually prefer to see relegation as the only solution to possibly saying au revoir to Monsieur Al Ashley?
I am, actually, yes. I took that stance about 18 months ago.
Dear Lord.
And I said basically that whoever was manager or wasn't manager, who they were trying to get Pardew at the time, was irrelevant because the actual policy of the club, which was basically to buy players cheaper from abroad because you could double their wages in the Premier League, and then we were sort of halfway house for them to move on to bigger clubs, the better ones. So you couldn't possibly build a team like that. And also, Newcastle United seemed to have made absolutely no attempt to win a cup. Over the last two or three years. So basically, we're the only team in the Premiership who didn't actually win anything. Because what happened about a few years ago, we nearly got relegated the season we were in Europe because we had a very small squad. We got injuries. We got the last eight, I think, of the Europa League or whatever it's called. And we nearly went down.
Ian, if you really sort of are suffering for the whole thing, we can join in the joy and delight. I mean, I could feel the waves of warmth that Jessica was actually shedding when she said the winner of the FA Vars was North Shields.
North Shields
won the FA Vars final. So there
you
go. It took a long time, into injury time before they got that 2-1 result, but success for the North Shields lads.
The North Shields.
Yes,
nice.
There we are.
And who did you support? I can't remember who they beat, actually. Chillingham or something.
They bought a team from the East Midlands, actually, that whole system. Anyway, exactly. I thought you'd be delighted in terms of that. We'll come back to that.
I used to follow North Shields. Well, I reported on North Shields when I was for a young
and
chap.
Once they scored 10 goals, and you nearly had a heart attack because you were running back and forth.
I had to run out of the ground against the phone box,
What fun we actually had. And indeed, Jared Johnson would have acknowledged that. Were here to obviously deal with the tremendous result that Swansea City had in actually beating Arsenal 1-0. So it's all good news, I feel, in so many ways. Although don't expect to score six past Queen's Park Rangers, because there are certain sides that can do that quite comfortably in, and I don't think Newcastle United are one of them at present. But there we are.
Yes, usually with foreign money.
And Newcastle United don't have much foreign money, do they? No, they just have foreign... Yeah, okay.
No, they don't have any money.
19th
richest side. We don't spend
side.
Any money.
19th richest side in the whole thing. Jessica is keen to get on to obviously reading your book, which she's put on, she's put on the back burner, because she knows that you're keen to actually listen to Darren and Brooke Aldridge. No relation that we know of to John Aldridge, but it is Cameron Tilbury's musical selection this week. I know you missed it last week, Ian, because we didn't have one because of various other things. But now back today with Tennessee Flat Top Box. That's Tennessee Flat Top Box, Darren and Brooke Aldridge. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Said Jessica, is what is a flat top box? So we decided to use a search engine to find out more about the Tennessee Flat Top Box, which is actually covered by a variety of folks. You've got more images for the flat top box. We've also found out, Ian, you'd be delighted to know that it was Glossop North End that suffered the wrath of North Shields.
Oh, right, yes.
Exactly. In terms of the system. But ultimately, the world.
If it played that music, it might have won. We've been dancing about all over the place.
Do you know, this could be the secret to scoring against Queen's Park Rangers, you see.
Might as well try it out.
Exactly. And now that Gibril Cissé is back, at least Newcastle can say they're within spitting distance of success. As I say,
I don't get paid for this, you know.
Exactly. It's just time and time again, I just sort of feel it just rolls out. Anyway, the most important thing, Tennessee Flat Top Box. What did you make of Darren and Brooke Aldridge?
Well, it's one of those twangy Tennessee things, isn't it? The sort of images that come out of some rattly old wagon with Granny sitting on the roof. The hillbilly thing, wasn't it?
Big question from Germany. What is a Tennessee flat top box?
I have no idea.
Best answer that's come through from that: a Tennessee flat top box is a regular acoustic guitar with steel strings that can be played with or without amplification.
It sounds a little bit like a banjo, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Bigger.
If it has nylon strings, it's mostly known as a classical guitar.
Oh.
So there we are. It's not a classical guitar if it doesn't have nylon strings. If it has steel strings, it is a Tennessee flat top box.
Wow.
That'd be nice on the fingers, wouldn't it?
Yeah, my friend has a guitar and I play on it sometimes, and it is much nicer than a nylon, I think.
Is it? Do you play with a plectrum, though? You play with it?
Pardon?
You don't play your fingers, you play the plectrum, do you?
You should.
Yeah.
But I just use my fingers.
Really?
The blood all over the stage when Jessica actually rocks out. It's amazing.
It's dedication.
next week, karate.
Yeah.
It's a way of focusing on her netball training. That's the
thing. Oh, I see, yeah.
The season may have ended, but you know, life continues.
One four-finger jab from her.
Yeah, very, very impressive in every sense of the word. So, Ian, what does the rest of this day have in store for your good self?
I'm hoping to have a coffee with my great friend John Gibson, who's one of the chief reporters up here for football, I think, Cash and he'll tell me what's happening.
Sorry, once again. Yeah.
It's quite funny, actually, because we're eating this cafe, and John's got, he's got not a loud voice, but he projects his voice, you know. And so he's obviously a very well-known figure, because he's been in the Chronicle for 50 years. And so people tend to listen to him.
Yeah.
And so there's There's this sort of odd silence where he's talking around the coffee place, and then McGool sort of starts talking again.
Yeah, clearly, they're kind of fascinated by the views of man. Has he been banned from St. James? Because I know
recently, but he has been in the past. I think. Yeah, I mean, every self-respecting reporter has been banned from the Castanets.
Yeah, exactly. It's just and again,
they're getting around to banning spectators. I think
what's not to love with respect to a club that likes to actually ban press and journalists of its own.
Well, I mean, Pardew, when he was up here. When the powers that be in the club banned the local evening paper, I think that was probably one of the things that led to his leaving, because there's a good old fashioned saying, keep your friends close and your enemies closer, and suddenly the Chronicle had no reason to had nothing else to fear. You know, all the sanctions have been taken away, and I mean they are back together now, but I mean, they could hold. They could say what they wanted about poor old Pardew, and he couldn't do anything about it. He had to be the face for Newcastle United. He had to sort of, I mean, he's a football manager, football team manager, and he was having to deal with all the political things about the club, the way the club was run. It was ridiculous.
There are people who might sort of wonder why, when we're actually a station based in the heart of Lincoln's first community radio station, Siren 107.3 FM, why week in, week out, do you actually focus on the Newcastle trauma? The answer,
yes, I hope the expats branch of Newcastle United, Lincoln branch is growing.
No, the answer is quite simply because our mascot is black and white. It's the badger, you know, so there we are.
That's right. There he is.
Ah, right. But we're the magpies, actually.
You see, there you go. You had to go and mention that, didn't you? You know, we had the link there perfectly put together.
The truth will out, don't
you? Honestly, you'd think you used to be a journalist, Ian Lennox. I mean, it's just amazing.
I know I used to be a journalist. Yeah. Not a very good one, but I was.
Yeah, exactly.
That was all right.
Self-deprecation, another classic Geordie trait. Yeah. Michael Nunn and William Trevitt, artistic directors of the Ballet Boys. One of them will be talking about their time with the Royal Ballet and how Ballet Boys 2, The Next Step, and Four Dance is opening up a whole new range of frontier. Minty Steed will be back with us in the second part of the programme. William Sitwell will be joining us, and the Chief Executive Officer of... Living Heritage, Mark Hume, will be explaining what's happening a week on Saturday, Sunday and Monday with respect to the Bank Holiday weekend at Burley House. Some great stuff there. Last two questions for Ian Lennox, please. Jessica.
Have you enjoyed the show this morning?
I have indeed, Jessica.
And will we be hearing from you in the near future?
I do so hope so, and I shall prepare a peroration against Manchester City.
Yeah, it's all going to be positive and good and welcoming, because that's what City are, really, as a club.
Hi, I'm Rachel from On Broadcast, and you're listening to Alex Levchuk on the Midweek Drive.
Excellent. Technically, the Midweek Drive morning edition, but it's okay, Rachel. We know you delivered it with consummate style and professionalism. 11 degrees centigrade is the high today in Lincoln. 6 degrees centigrade is the low. It's going to be a dry day with a cool easterly breeze. Jessica Ward is in the studio, and online we have Minty Steed. Minty, good morning. How are you?
Okay, thank you, Alex.
Excellent. Now, we've just heard the wonderful Richard Fitzwilliams doing a whole range of fantastic lines. Well, I think it's fair to say it was a tirade against the Royal Night Out.
He was not pleased.
Not pleased with victory in Europe celebrations and so on. But from your own point of view, kind of writing the sort of final routine, obviously we had heaps of coverage, which you can still find on the sirenonline.co.uk website that Ed Wellman and Jeff Thompson folk had actually provided over VE celebrations in Lincoln. But you were at the museum in Elvington, I believe, doing some stuff
that's
there
correct.
For the actual event.
Yes,
so what were you doing,
correct.
Minty?
Well, taking it all in, it was very good. A war reenactment, you know, and World War II reenactment group put it on, held it at the actual museum, and they were very helpful, and they appreciated the attendance. It was popular. The only thing I did see that wasn't totally happy was what one small child wasn't very happy when the bangs kept going off, as they didn't realise they would be so loud. Other than that, people very much appreciated it. The World War II style, I don't know whether you call it cafe or nappy, whatever, it was teeming with people, and you had to be pretty quick to be able to buy something, because it was sort of, as you said, going off the shelves like hot cakes. It really was. The whole thing was well planned and done, and we thought it was excellent. It was very emotive with some of the areas where you could go in, and they made a complete replica of all when they were navigating for the planes, etc., and any coming down and such as that. And there were all the genuine photos of, and there were quite a few people, should we say, of an age to have lost someone in World War II, who you could see were deeply emotional. I mean, they weren't openly crying or anything, but it was profound to them. And also, you could see they appreciated it, that films Remember the Lost was being acknowledged in that way, and people could get an idea of just what the atmosphere of it like must have been. That was exceptionally good part of it. A lot of the various planes used, they were all there to see. And when you see them and you think of the age that many of those pilots would be at the time, who were lost or seriously injured, you know, 19, 18, 20, etc., that sort of age range, it makes you really see what it is. Now, when I was a child, I always used to dine, when I dined with my parents or my own self later on, in the Oak Room at Betty's, and they had a glass sort of panel in there, and all the pilots would put their name on it, and then maybe a sort of sketch of their plane, and then they'd put when they were going to go out on, you know, going out to go raid, you know, when they'd come back, and then they'd put a tick, and then along the end it would show someone else would put it that he'd died on so-and-so date. And to read them, put the age next to them. And I was always very deeply taken by this, even as young as 3 and 4 years of age. I thought it was a profound statement in so, you know, such a thing that way. And then to see the planes so close too, and I had one within my family was in the RAF, and he'd saved 6 people out of the burning plane, and was trying to battle to get the 7th out, and never quite recovered from the fact that he saved the 7th person, even though he'd saved 6, you know, already. So, yes, it was excellent, and I think we couldn't have done it better.
And on a completely different note, you're heading off to the Dante meeting in York. So from one kind of transport, you're off to York Racecourse and so on.
Well, we didn't, yeah.
You're not riding, I take it, today, Mindy?
No. I mean, not that that hasn't been something that has been done, but not today. It's very much, as it seems to be really hitting the heights. Yesterday, with, of course, the extra visit going on as well, that makes it very popular, and it is very popular. Oh, I heard Derek Thompson. He was there. So,
there we are, former racing commentator, of course, with Channel 4, and occasionally contributor to the show, etc. So you're on a horse racing event, and coming up shortly.
And also the new chap who's taken over now, of course, a certain person, Graham Orange, who has been very much a contributor to Siren and many others, hasn't he, over the years. And he's now retired. So I think now we can go and enjoy his racing, watching it, instead of being sort of on duty all the time.
Oh, there we are.
So that's been some. And also would like to say that when I did sort of part one, part two of the Yorkshire Tour of the Cycles, I hadn't the time at the moment. I sort of omitted to include Astor for Roundhay Park, who were the end part of that journey, and congratulations to Roundhead Park and Leeds and those responsible for it, because it's absolutely excellent.
Excellent.
And then we have been looking into another form of transport, and Tacker and Toppy rather enjoy this aspect. He's going up and down rivers, but we'll see more about that later on.
Again,
it's a bit of everything there. Yeah.
Precisely. And finally, as I say, we'll be speaking to Mark Hume, the Chief Executive Officer, of course, of Living Heritage in about half an hour's time. May be there for one of the main events, but it looks highly likely that Jessica and myself and possibly Ed Wellman and maybe even Emma Tennyson might be sort of making our way down to Burley House. Certainly for the what we call it a press day, sort of preview day, set up on the Saturday. Whether we're out for the Sunday and Monday, we're not sure, but that's an event you'll be taking part in.
Oh, that'd be marvellous, because Kirsty was especially keen, you know, if you would be there for Burley. So we'd be able to meet up with Kirsty and everyone that runs Living Heritage, because they were very keen to see you there.
Well, aww. Isn't that nice, Jessica,
to be
wanted?
Nice.
You're in demand, you
always
see.
Quite keen to go where we're wanted, because we're like vampires. If we're not invited in, we don't get anywhere at all.
No, and if you don't ask, you won't get, will you?
Well, very true.
Minty,
as you continue to sort of drive, Jackie at the wheel, is she?
Yes.
Yes, that's all right. I just want to confirm that. Oh, it's all right, because you go through chauffeurs at a rate of knots sometimes, but no, Jackie, good stuff there. Last two questions for Minty, please. Jessica?
Of course, Minty. Have you enjoyed the morning edition of the Midweek Drive today?
Yes, and of course he's been slightly different, mentioning various forms of transport and things one way or another. And of course,
No horse boarding.
Yeah,
no,
not this time.
Well, that's going to be. Yeah, well, that is going to be very much. I think going to be one of the main things at said forthcoming event.
Burley's Living Heritage Game Fair. Extraordinary. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we mustn't forget ferret racing.
We nearly did, but you haven't now, so
yes,
go for it.
Nearly did.
Have you? Oh, sorry. I've completely lost.
Ferret racing has that.
That's it. It's just
people.
Very overwhelming. But
don't get me started on ferret roulette as well.
I was just going to say, don't forget ferret roulette.
Yeah, even the great John Wenham has never actually sort of decided to shift from doing umpire duties in the world of cricket to actually supervising ferret roulette. But I think I will suggest it to him anyway.
And the last question is: will we be hearing from you soon, Minty?
Yes, most certainly. And after umpiring ferret roulette, you need to be an expert, you know. I think we need to train a ferret to comment on the other ferrets. They'll know the farm best, I would say.
Do you ever get the feeling you're getting a bit surreal, really? Ferrets commentating on other ferrets? Well, stop ferreting around. Jessica, the kind of video we've just seen from the Ballet Boys in full force is something which possibly in one's dreams might think, well, I actually do that on a sort of regular daily basis. I don't think so. But when we actually have the opportunity to welcome the legend who is William Trevitt to the production principal and indeed guest principal with respect to the Royal Ballet Company, gentleman who trained at the Royal Ballet School, joined the Royal Ballet in 1987, it's a genuine joy to say, William Trevitt, welcome to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. I mean, the energy and the phenomenal sort of area that you put into these routines. Talk to us about the Ballet Boys, because it is literally just, I mean, it's a tour de force of excellence.
Well, that's very kind of you to say so. We are a company of all-male contemporary dancers, and our show is touring the UK at the moment. It's a kind of mixture somewhere between a ballet company and a contemporary dance company. So there's quite a broad range of styles that we dance in. And we've been doing this with this group of guys for about 5 years now.
And in fact, you at the Nottingham Playhouse this very evening.
Yes.
It's amazing in terms of that. Before you head off to the Grand Theatre Blackpool, you're in Guildford on the 19th of May, the Mercury Theatre in Colchester on the 21st of May, and so on. You can go, of course, to balletboys.com, B-A-L-L-E-T-B-O-Y-Z. I'll say that as opposed to Z, you know, just because it is B-O-Y-Z .com. We'll actually sort of tell you a whole range of aspects within that whole field. Jessica, questions and thoughts from yourself?
I think this looks amazing, and well, you've obviously had a lot of experience in this field. I think contemporary dance is, I don't know, I always find it really interesting because it's not very predictable, and I really enjoy watching it. How have the tours been going? Must be quite busy, actually.
Yeah, the tour's been going very well. We've must have played four or five dates. We've been in Italy for a few dates as well, which was nice. But it's I think you're right. There's something about contemporary dance which the people who love it absolutely love it, and the people that don't know about it perhaps feel a little bit I don't know, intimidated by it or scared of it, or just like maybe it's not for them. And I think that that's the audience that we're often trying to reach. Those people that you know, might say, one day I'm going to give contemporary dance a go. I'll give it a go, see what happens. And I think we're the show to come to, if that's how you feel.
I can't believe, William, that it's 2001 when the company was founded. That is, what's happened to the last 14 odd years?
Well,
you know?
A lot's happened, including my very own retirement. So, Michael and I, we're the two directors of the company, and we, as you said in your introduction, we danced with the Royal Ballet. We were, we had a company in Japan for a while. We created this company so that we could work with as many choreographers as possible, as many composers, have these really interesting creative experiences. But like a professional athlete, there comes a time when you can't do it as well as you know you want to. And so we decided to completely stop dancing, the two of us, and we went out and we found 10 younger, fitter, stronger versions of ourselves, and more handsome. So that's who the company is. They're incredible athletes, all from really different backgrounds, different kinds of training. You know, some are trained like us as ballet dancers, other ones trained as contemporary dancers, and even one or two who have very little training. And what happens is it there's something about the group, there's something really powerful about this group of men working together, striving for excellence and perfection in their movement.
2014, of course, awarded Best Independent Dance Company at the Critics Circle National Dance Awards. A bouquets keep coming and will continue to do so. We talked about that athleticism. I don't want to go down the Billy Elliot line because, that's been done for so many times, etc. But you talk about the athleticism of this whole system. It's presumably something that you have to dedicate yourself to completely in terms of really focusing on agility, ability, and so on. If I really basically say, William, in terms of advice from yourself for any aspiring male ballet dancers, etc., it's for life, not just for a night out, shall we say.
Yeah, no, I think you do. You're absolutely right. You do have to completely dedicate yourself to your art form. You know, in a way that any artist would. You know, you hear about classical musicians who practice scales all day, all day long. They do many, many hours of preparation for their performances. And it's the same with the dancers. They work very, very hard. And what we try and give them, which is, you know, the advice I would give anyone else, is as much variety as possible, so that they could be training in ballet one day, in capoeira the next, tai chi, you know, as many different experiences as possible in and amongst their training, and that makes them more interesting artists.
I'm actually thinking, William, what would be lovely is if we can actually do a little location report from your state-of-the-art studios in Kingston-upon-Thames, because it's quite some time, especially as one of our regular midweek drive-outs, Emma Tinson, is from Surrey. I think it's only right we actually
did that
sort of diversion from the joys of Lincoln to Kingston-upon-Thames.
Well, you'd be very welcome.
Well, what a wonderful chap he is. Jessica, any other questions or thoughts about, have you considered, because you're a netball person,
yes,
in terms of moves and so on and so forth, I'm sure there's a ballet just waiting to be written about netball. You know, it could be sort maybe. Of put together. Thoughts of yourself?
Well, I've always been interested in ballet. My mum used to do it just for a few years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I think it would be a great way to exercise and very good for your posture as well. But I don't know, I've never really seen myself as a ballet dancer. I think that's the problem. But I think I'd give it a shot, but I don't know.
There's a wonderful piece that you've put on the website, which I thought was really astounding. And initially I thought, surely, what? Dancing with Parkinson's? You might think, surely this can't be the case at all. But, I mean, the health and the therapeutic aspects of dance. I mean, Parkinson's can dance is the line I'm actually referring to. A dance class for people with Parkinson's starting, of course, in September 2015. Really, we've talked about, obviously, the elite from your own perspective with Ballet Boys, William, and that sort of things. But there are other levels that people can connect with. Our very own Sarah Bullimore, of course, who works with the Chantry Dance Company, with Ray Piper, of course, up in Nottingham and so on, and Sarah's coordinating the Lincoln Dancers Festival in a few moments. That if folk are listening to this, the health aspects of just doing some movement can never be underestimated, can they, William?
No, I don't think that. I think you're right about that. There, you know, we are always looking for people who are interested in dance, and they come to our studio. You know, there's lots of kids, particularly boys, come to our studio to dance. We have a class specifically for teenagers. We do yoga classes. So, you know, there's lots of other ways rather than just being simply a professional dancer on the stage. There's so many other ways you can connect with it, and hopefully, if it sparks a kind of an interest in dance with you, then you might be in our audience, which is also what we're looking for.
Well, precisely, and of course, reminder that the Ballet Boys are coming to Darlington. Yay! Darlington Theatre, once again, celebrating that, plus, of course, as I say, in Nottingham this very evening, so a whole range of wonderful things for that perspective. William, it's been a genuine delight. We're just actually looking at Ballet Boys Live at present with a new production, Young Men in Rehearsal.
Yeah, good. Yeah, we do a bit of live streaming from the studio from time to time. So,
it's very good, this company.
Only the very best. That's the critical line, I think, from that point of view. William, it's brought us around to those last two questions. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme this morning? Has it been okay for you, sir?
Yes, it's been very good. Fascinating questions.
Well, thank you. And then the next critical question is, of course, can we look forward to hopefully continuing to feature your good self and the Ballet Boys over the next few weeks, months and so on? Will you join us again in the near future?
Absolutely. It will be a pleasure.
Lovely.
Actually, you get musical choice. Any particular musical item you'd like us to dig out for you as we move from your good self, William, to your namesake, William Sitwell, who, although he's an ace culinary expert, editor, of course, of Waitrose Food, regular slot with us at 9:30, don't think William Sitwell's ever actually taken part in ballet. It is a question I should be
putting
to
him. Ask him about that.
I think so. Yeah. Something that MasterChef does ballet. The MasterChef ballet.
Perfect.
Yeah. I think. Anyway, William, any particular musical choice you'd like us to see if we've got ready for you?
I'm trying to think of another famous William.
Oh. Shatner, of course. There is William Shatner. I mean, but
yeah. I tell you what you could play, and it might amuse you, is William Shatner's version of Pulp. Common People.
Now this is an interesting one. I know we have some William Shatner in the system, but I suspect, apart from Love of the Common People, which is extraordinary, we might be going for something completely different. I mean, the computer might explode. We don't know. I mean, this is the kind of line that could actually open up if you actually go for William Shatner. But we have got we've got him doing a version of Rocket Man.
Yes,
featuring Steve Hillage, which is
not bad.
Just the opening lines.
You packed my bags last night, pre-flight.
It's almost enough to bring tears to the eyes of many a sort of deep sort of routine. So if you're happy with this is what we'll go with. And William Trevitt from Ballet Boys, B-O-Y-Z, we salute you. Take care
now. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space. On such a timeless flight,